when Katie and I travel in the summer with all of our kiddos, we can't help sometimes but look at other travelers that have RVs and campers and have some level of envy towards them. We feel it, okay? I know we shouldn't, but we do because it looks so accommodating to families, right? Your own space, a place that's air conditioned, you can get out of the heat, nap your kiddos in a pack and play. Well, we discovered Outdoorsy.com, and this is the most trusted RV rental marketplace in the U.S. They offer thousands of RVs and campers nationwide, and they're available in your neighborhood. And there's multiple ways for you to travel and to do this, okay? You can drive it yourself, or you could tow it, or you can have it delivered and fully set up to wherever you're going at your destination, okay? That's pretty convenient. Now, there's built-in peace of mind that comes with this. There's comprehensive insurance, 24/7 customer support, roadside assistance is included in your rental. And here's the deal. There's great value because oftentimes these are more affordable than hotels or vacation rentals. So it's your own space and it can be more affordable as well. If you are over 21 years of age, you do have to be 21 years in order to rent these things. The way you do it is it's just three simple steps, okay? You go to outdoorsy.com and you search and you choose an RV that fits your family and your trip, okay? And then you book with confidence. There's insurance, there's support, there's protection included. And then you hit the road, okay? Or if you're having it delivered to your location, I guess you'd still hit the road, but you would drive in your own car and then you'd arrive at your destination with an RV fully set up, okay? Those are the three steps. And this summer, they're actually running a campaign where when you use our code, which is FAMILY, they remove all service fees from your booking. And so when you go to outdoorsy.com, that's outdoorsy.com, and you use our code FAMILY at checkout, then you don't have to pay the service fees. They remove them. Okay. And in for instances like this, less fees are better. So this summer, if you're going to 250th anniversary celebrations, if you're going to down Route 66 to celebrate its 100th year anniversary, if you're going to fiddle contests, family camps, whatever it is, Christian conferences, go to outdoorsy.com and utilize their great services.
All right, you guys, this is a very fun episode for me because not only are we interviewing Elisha's sister and brother-in-law, but Lilia was my best friend and partner in crime growing up. And she's the only reason she's not my best friend is because her brother replaced her. Aside from that, we just have a long history together and it just feels like old times. We just have 11 kids between us now. And now we're just like sorting out the gender wars between our five boys and their five girls. And we have very, very different family dynamics, but I love it. Anyways, so today we get to ask Blake and Lilia a few questions. We get to work with Blake and Lilia. They work together. And yeah, do you guys want to start off by introducing yourselves to our audience?
You go first.
I'm Lilia, and like Katie said, I'm Elisha's sister.
There we go.
I'm a girl. I'm Elisha's sister, and Katie and I grew up best friends. I think we've been best friends since, what, like age seven? So we've known each other a long time, and Blake and I have been married almost 8 years, and then, yeah, we have five girls. Our oldest is seven, just turned seven, and then the youngest is 5 months.
Wow. Yeah. Right now, folks, just so you know, there's 11 children that are supposed to be in their beds in our home. And I feel like we're really pushing. Risky. Yeah, it is. It is risky business. We're pushing our luck.
Christopher Churchmouse is working overtime right now.
He is. Yes, he is. So there's a whole plethora of things that I feel like we could talk about in this episode, but we're going to kind of hone in on a few things. Cause I think it is interesting. Blake came from a very, you know, a family of notoriety in our community, the Rasmussen family. My sister Lilia similarly came from a family in our hometown that, you know, was a relatively prominent just because of our numbers, kind of, you know, more than anything. However, there was differences in our upbringings. You know, Blake was public schooled, was a part of a different church. Lilia was homeschooled. You know, we were part of a different church. And so I'm kind of curious from the get, even though you guys obviously had a common faith, you were both Christians. When you got married, did you guys both know how you wanted to educate your children, right? Just kind of jumping into that education question, was homeschooling a conversation from the beginning?
I vividly remember when Lily and I first started hanging out, like almost dating, probably almost dating,
well,
is what I would say.
We had known each other for a while.
But I remember we had a very intentional drive and you asked me some pretty direct questions. One of them was, what are my views on homeschooling? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
So it was almost like...
I had to get the list of questions. It was like, basically, if these questions don't go well, then this relationship isn't going to go anywhere. So it's just getting them out in the open.
But for, you know, for me, you know, I grew up public school, and I always kind of thought that homeschool kids were just kind of a little odd. But then I got to know them, and I realized they're not. They're actually pretty cool, pretty fun. So a lot of the more fun families that I knew were large families that homeschooled. And so I was already open to the idea, but she really wanted to make sure I was willing to commit to that off the bat. So I wasn't intimidated by that.
Yeah, I guess I've never asked Lilia. Was homeschooling a non-negotiable for you when it came to dating and getting married?
Yeah, I mean, they weren't open to homeschooling. It's like I would be open to other things, but I wasn't open to public school, I would say.
Okay, and then Blake, so you said you felt like, you know, homeschoolers were a little weird.
Well, I'm being a little sarcastic.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's kind of true.
It's okay. We think public schoolers are a little weird, so it's okay. you got to have, like, you know, faith in your clan, what they're doing. But okay, but that said... Yeah, do you notice some like public school, homeschool differences, like even in your marriage and stuff like that? We're like, oh, that's like a homeschool quirk, or, you know, does it play out at all?
Well,
now
it's
as
usually
adults?
Like, I don't understand the inappropriate reference. And he's like, that's
I'm like,
not good.
Don't say that.
Right. No, it's not that you don't understand.
Inappropriate.
Right. You say the inappropriate things, not knowing they're inappropriate.
Yeah, like I'll say something I maybe heard and I don't really know its full context. And then Blake will be like, yeah, you can't
I'm
say
there
that.
With the context.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. You guys have each other's backs like that.
That's really helpful.
That you saved great. My bacon. Yeah.
Okay, so let's jump into some other questions here. What are some ways? We'll jump into this one right here. Okay, unless you have another question, Katie.
Okay, so Blake, you're from a family. Your dad's a pastor. You guys knew a ton of families, but Lilia's family was exceptionally large. Was that intimidating coming into the Vogtberg family or no?
A little bit. I think it's more just a personality thing because my personality is good like one-on-one with people. So I feel like when I get into a large group, I kind of turn into a little bit more of an observer than a participator. So you can imagine I was just an observer like most of the time at the Vogtberg house. But I think... they're all just super fun people. And I've known you guys' family for a really long time. So like we were friends before.
And he dated my sister.
Okay. That's not true.
You guys did kind of brother sister swap. Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, do we really want to go into this?
Sure. It's actually an interesting story.
It's a really interesting story, but do we want the world to know? But, it's not that interesting. Basically my brother, Jared, and Lilia,
that didn't happen.
I wasn't even going to say that.
No, okay.
I was going to say that you guys wanted to set me up with Annie.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
And I did take Annie on a few dates. Yeah. But
Annie is our other sister.
Our sister.
Yeah. But here's when I knew that it was not going to go anywhere is when we were driving back from a concert. I took her to a concert in the park at Redmond. We were listening to John Williams music. Performed by the Seattle Symphony. Lilia's really jealous that she didn't get to go on that with me.
Still a little bitter.
But Annie slept in the car the entire way home. She wasn't interested in having any kind of conversation with me.
Wow.
So I know you don't hold it against me, Annie. So
yeah.
We should wrap this whole story up though.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Okay. I'll
so,
wrap it up.
Yeah. You go for it.
Okay. So then, basically, it wasn't working with Annie. So he went to Plan B. He went to me, which he realized later was the better option.
So you're the older brother, so though.
Yes.
And Annie is the older sister. Yes. So like it made sense age-wise. Yes.
So they tried that way. Mm-hmm. The match wasn't good. So then you went for me, right?
Well, yeah, I had to ask my brother's permission. That's a whole other story. But I said, Jared, if you don't go for this girl, I'm going to. If you don't go for Lilia, I'm going for Lilia. So he told me to go for it.
And then... 2 years later, Jared married our sister Annie.
Wow. Yeah,
so it's twisty.
That is twisty.
And everything works out. It's legal.
I was going to say, this is like falling in line with everything of like inbred
the weird homeschool, yeah.
The fundamentalist everyone's yes, concerned
you're
about.
You're contributing to the problem here. Okay. It's a marketing problem. Yeah. So I'm curious, when you guys come to a disagreement, which is inevitable, right? This is real life that we're talking about here. What are some things you guys do to navigate those disagreements?
Where do you think the disagreements start? It's probably.
What?
Like what?
Oh.
Here's what I think. Typically, Lily is always processing things, like usually 10 years ahead of me, you know?
Okay.
It's true.
And so she's like thinking 10 years down the road about something. And she's got this idea and she always finishes her sentence with, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? And it almost feels like she's trying to get a commitment out of me to something that we're not going to deal with for another 10 years. So I have my strategy for this is to say, well, I understand what you're saying. I say it in a way just so that people know where she knows that I'm not agreeing to it, but I understand her.
Got it.
Because I need more time to think about it. So
are you saying that's where all of our disagreements are?
I'm just saying that
yeah.
In order to kind of navigate the in-between before we've actually settled on something, I don't want to commit to something before I've had time to process it. I kind of say, well, I know what you're saying. I understand what you're saying.
That's yeah. great. So basically this was like her tactic of getting you to commit to things.
Exactly. Before
you're ready. Now you're,
it feels
now
like
you're
that
mitigating
yeah.
that.
Okay. Okay. So preemptively.
I feel yeah. like we're about to get into a disagreement right now.
It's always the best time yeah. on a podcast. I feel like that's actually really good.
No, that was
because does that good, make yeah. you feel understood? Like, okay, at least he heard me out.
Yeah, I think so. I think, yeah, when you respond like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I do usually, I want him to like give me an answer like yes or no. Or
and I'm usually just not ready to yeah. do that. So it's kind of that's a. True.
Do you ever come to like, does Blake ever give you an answer?
Sometimes they'll be like, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. It's usually the the answer.
Yeah. What about when you come to a bridge that's like,
that like
we're crossing right now.
We're crossing, crossing the bridge. I know I need an example, I guess. I feel like just in marriage, you have to be willing to be patient with your spouse and let them, you know, navigate things and think about things and I don't know, just be gracious with one another. But yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Blake does listen to me in all my processing. Sometimes I'm not sure if he's awake, but he's a good listener. Nice.
I love you guys' marriage because it's so fun and you guys tease each other. And I feel like Lilia was one of those people growing up that like always said the crazy stuff. She likes the shock effect and was like funny. And when she got married to you, Blake, you would just like laugh with her and yeah. let her just
sometimes
do thing.
I do get like the touch of silence, which is like, okay.
First of all, the touch of silence is not something I coined. That's, I'm still like, oh, I'm this oppressive.
No, he's not oppressive. He's helping me out. Like when I'm digging myself in a hole, he'll like, gently just.
I know. So that's what I think. Did my siblings name that or did you guys?
Yeah, that's what we've yeah. always called it. I think from you guys.
Because Elisha would always, I used to say more. I used to put my foot in my mouth more than I do now. And when we were first married, I would get like really riled up at the dinner table and he just kind of like put his hand on my leg and my sisters would all go, oh, Elisha's giving me the touch of silence.
Yeah,
they're just trying to help us out.
They are. Yeah. They're like, hey, you might regret this later.
Yeah. Sometimes reconsider. I'm like, do it earlier. Like, don't let.
I don't know. You got to give yourself a little bit of a leash because yeah. it's fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, with that, as we already mentioned, Blake, your father is a pastor, has been a pastor in our community for a long time now. And then, Lily, you married into that family. Have been going to church there since the time you guys have been married. Were there anything that kind of caught you off guard when it came from being in our family where we didn't, although we were, you know, we wanted to have a good reputation in the community. It's not like we were in ministry, formal ministry. Yeah. So maybe we could get away with a little bit more. Did you find yourself feeling that edge of responsibility when you were, you felt like you were a part of the family, the pastor family?
Yes. I mean, I think the biggest difference is like in our family is our family would just hash everything out. And Blake's family had a little more self-control. They are a little more gracious about that. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's because you guys knew that you were, you know, like you had a reputation to fill within the community? Or do you feel like that was just more like the culture of your family either way?
I think it's just our family culture. And I think just the nature of only having three kids in the family, there weren't as many opportunities dynamics for conflict. But it was definitely fun, like going over to the Voetberg house and like hearing some of these heated discussions about topics that are really not necessarily, you know, carry much weight. But yeah, I don't know if that has so much to do with like the church upbringing. I was thinking more along the lines of when you and I first got married, I was working at the church, and I think even in my employee agreement, I could only miss like two Sundays a year.
Oh, yeah. Like, that
we can only miss two Sundays a year.
Yeah. That was a difference. Is, I mean, our family always grew up going to church, but there was also a lot of Sundays we would miss because we'd be out of town or something.
And I think it's part of being homeschooled too, is you guys have the freedom to just kind of like, you know, do some trips and stuff.
Or we would visit a lot of other churches. And then, yeah, when we got married, it's like we were committed to that church.
Yeah. I mean, even like on our honeymoon, we came back, we went to church, and then we continued on our honeymoon.
Yeah.
So
basically, we're committed churchgoers.
All right, guys, we need to jump in here and let you know that out of necessity, we are raising the prices over at Voetberg Music Academy. And you say, out of necessity, I don't buy it. And it actually has shifted. Okay, we were able to keep our prices very low for a long time because we weren't offering live instruction, right? And we've added so many live calls. We're needing to add to the team. Okay, not only has the customer service load increased greatly, the teacher load has increased greatly. We're creating more courses than ever. We're doing more live calls than ever. We're sending out more badges in the mail than ever before. We're also sending out more $10 bill awards for the Six Songs of Summer than ever before. That might be the number one reason we're raising prices. No, it's not the number one reason.
It really is. We want to continue. We've talked about scaling back what we're offering on Voetberg Music Academy, because there's nothing like it. We've never seen any method where you can learn as easily, as affordably, and as fun as you can at Voetberg Music Academy. We're very confident in that. We don't want to change anything that we're doing. And so we just need to bring more people on to keep giving you an excellent product. And so this is going to still be the most affordable way that you and your family can learn music. But we want to keep families learning together. We didn't want to start saying, okay, every child has to have their own account. So we want to continue offering an exceptional product to you guys. And as a result of that, we are going to have to increase our prices, but it's still going to be very affordable.
It is. And if you sign up before we raise prices this fall, you can lock in that price. And once you are signed up in that course, we won't like raise prices once you're already in at that price. So there is kind of a timeline. We wanted to give you a chance to get in under the current price and enjoy those lessons. This also is kind of like, I mean, this we could probably do, this is kind of a job listing too, actually.
Okay, we're doing that.
Sure, why not? Because we're really
moving really fast.
We are. This is a job listing. Okay, so reach out if you guys. Well, no, we'll do the job listing separate. Okay, a job listing is coming because then we'll lay out what we're looking for in the job listing. Okay,
great.
So stay tuned if that's something that's interesting to you.
Good for you guys.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and that is, you know, it's interesting you say that, Lilia, because that is something that we have changed a little bit, I think, in our home culture. With as much fun as I feel like we did have in our home, and it was full of love and support and all those things. I think I personally became way too flippant in my communication, where I would just let things fly and just assume that forgiveness will always be there if there are, you know, hurt feelings, and that you can undo things. And in retrospect, like you said, you attributed their, you know, peaceful communication to self-control. Mm-hmm. You're like, well, that's actually something that should be true just in Christians. You know, it's just a good attribute. Mm-hmm. And I think so often we dismiss poor attributes and say, well, it's just a part of our family culture. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, well, it's just the way I was brought up, rather than actually asking if it's, you know, beneficial to the listener, if it's edifying. And so it's cool. You guys have, yeah, you guys saw that early on. And I think you guys have, you've made the change, you know, I think. And
I have.
Yeah,
wow,
I think
thanks.
So. Yeah.
But I think even you can go too far the other way where you just are passive and you don't.
Yeah. It's like somewhere in the
anything,
middle.
But you know, like the Matthew 18 principles, if you have something against your brother, you got to go to them. So it's just, you don't go to them like
aggressively,
I guess, you know, go to them in love.
And I think this spectrum is like so funny because like I've heard several of you Vote Burr girls say that about your husbands, like their family culture. And then you, with the Voteberg family being very like, you know, more have more conflict. And then when Elisha and I got married, he was Johnson's the one who was really quiet because we were like, Next level. Yeah, like lunging across the table. It's true. At each
other. I've been in some of those and I thought I was used to intense. And then I would spend time at Johnson households. It was fun though. I enjoyed it.
Okay. So that said, what was one of the biggest differences when you guys first got married? I feel like every marriage has things that they stumble upon were like, okay, this is a big nut to crack. Was that more like theology, your family backgrounds growing up, school backgrounds?
Yeah, media standards, you know, entertainment, yeah, stuff like that.
Family size, like what was kind of like when you guys first got married, you're like, okay, like we kind of are going around this merry-go-round a couple times here. It's not like one conversation we see eye to eye.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I was more extroverted. And I think as time's gone on, I've become more introverted. Well, I don't know. I'm still extroverted, but I'm also just fine hanging out with Blake at all times. Would you agree?
Are you talking about like FOMO?
Yeah. Like I would get FOMO initially when we were married.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be a part of stuff where you were fine. Not. Go, yeah.
It would kind of affect you and your mood.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't care. We don't hang out with them. You know, let's just hang out with us.
Yeah.
So,
but now I feel like that's changed. It's like, I'm cool just hanging out with Blake.
Thanks.
I mean, I liked hanging out with you before too, but it is just that initial, I was kind of like the party girl. I mean, not party girl.
Okay, easy.
I like to have fun. They were like wholesome parties.
They were like homeschool parties. Leela's life of the homeschool parties. She was.
Well, I'm curious because you, Blake, we already mentioned you had two siblings. Mm-hmm. One of them is our brother-in-law, right?
Yep.
Which is great, Jared and Annie. But then family size, you know, you came from 10 and here you are not yet 8 years in a marriage and you have five girls. Mm-hmm. Was kid count one of those things that you guys talked about? Like, and yeah, what was that conversation like?
I mean, Lilia has always wanted to have a large family and we talked about that early on and I was always open to it because like I said, the large families that I knew just had a lot of fun. And I would say even some of the ones that were not economically suited to be a large family, like there's some large families that you're like amazed, how do they even make it day to day? But they were just like the most fun, life-giving families that I knew. So I think that was just a very attractive thing. So I was open to the idea for sure. Actually, I think I wanted to have a large van enough to say, I want to have enough kids to fill the van.
That was
his goal. Was like, one of my life goals is to get a big van because I just thought they were so cool.
Got it. So it wasn't so much about
he the doesn't
kids.
Care about the kids.
It is about the kids too. That was just like a milestone for me. I was like, I want to get a big van and fill it with kids. You know, that'd be kind of fun. Yeah. But I mean, it's really practically speaking, you can set out to say, you know, we want to have a large family, but you still just take it one at a time, and then here we are, five kids later. So, yeah.
Yeah, all girls too.
All girls.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys planned it that way, but now that
we did.
You do have five girls,
we nailed it.
What are some things that like stand out to you? I mean, we have our daughter, but we feel like a boy family having our five boys and one girl. What are some like differences you see in being a girl family versus when you see like our family, or some things that stand out that are special about being a girl family?
I mean, just being around your boys in the last couple of days, I would say our girls are generally not as aggressive. No, I think it's been good for our girls being around your boys though, because I feel like they're toughening them up. It's like one of your boys will just look at our little toddler and she'll start crying. And so I think they're
like 1 year olds.
Yes. The 1 year olds are like going at it. But, I would say in general, they don't wrestle. They like to play with dolls. They like to cook. They basically like to do anything I do, which is why I love it. It's like, they just like to be domestic. They like to sew with me. They like to cook and clean. And, there can be times where I'm like, man, this would be nice to do it just by myself. But I have to remind myself, this is awesome. This is what I wanted. And I really feel, I mean, this might sound cheesy, but I feel like I was meant to be a girl mom. Like I love it. I love having the girl pack and they love going grocery shopping with me. They're just very girly girls. I think I'm realizing they're girly girls and I'm totally okay with it.
I mean, if you go back to when we first got married and the FOMO, you were kind of feeling like you were missing out on the party, you know, like all of a sudden
now I have my own
the
party.
Hill and all of your siblings. And now you're just like hanging out with me.
Yes.
Well, I mean, we enjoy that.
Yeah.
It's like, now you've got five girls. It's like, you are the party, like the party's at home. And it's like, they're all doing the things that you love to do, sewing and like baking. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's one of my favorite things about having a bunch of girls is just Lily is just having a blast with all the girls. So
yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, you're like running a finishing school. Like your eldest is
an all girls boarding
seven?
School.
Yeah, yeah. It's like she's so accomplished. They're all so accomplished. They like see all the music books and the piano and the violins and the I don't know.
Well, just a huge blessing to me too. Like, well, I'll just tell the story. It was Trudy was how old? I don't know.
2 weeks old. Yeah.
Yeah, and we hadn't been getting a whole lot of sleep. And one Saturday morning, we happened to sleep until 9 o'clock. And Georgie, our oldest, comes into our room and she's like telling us, she's like, Mom, I made breakfast for everybody. And, or maybe we came out. I don't even know.
She came in. She's like, we're going to go upstairs and play quietly. And we came out and the kitchen was clean. She had fed the girls and they're all upstairs playing quietly with dolls. It's like, wow, we've arrived.
That was
great. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think of it because like Katie mentioned the music, academics, you guys are, you know, already high achievers academically with your girls. Arts and crafts. We just got the wedding invitation, which is incredible that you guys handmade for Vance and Alex. And it's just beautiful. It's like, what is that? You sewed those like
embroidered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They like embroidered these laces.
I had, the girls were my sweatshop. We were working hard.
Even know you could embroider on tulle, but you did
it.
Yeah.
And my mom helped too with some of that. Yeah.
Not to mention that I'll continue is that
okay,
you guys, you are always hosting as well. And if you're not hosting, you're bringing food to other people. And that just kind of, I guess, begs the question. Katie and I have actually talked about you, I think, before on the podcast, because you guys remind us, we've used this analogy before of like ducks, where it's like you guys are just so chill, but then under the water, it's just like your legs are going
we're
nuts,
drowning.
You know, just going twice the speed as everybody else. And I actually mean that when we just hear about the things you guys are doing with business, with Voberg Music Academy, you guys are filming courses, not just for fiddle and guitar, which you guys are, that we didn't mention that. Blake's
not
the guitar
sponsored.
Teacher
yeah.
for Voberg Music Academy. Lily is the fiddle instructor for Voberg Music Academy. But Blake also films all the piano courses, all the ukulele courses. So they're doing live calls for Voberg Music Academy, filming courses. Hosting, you know, tending to the widows and the orphans in the community. I'm not just saying this to flatter you. There's a question that I'm leading to, and that is like, what is your guys' criteria for getting on the same page to commit to things? Because it seems like you guys are committing at a pace that Katie and I would like, we would kill us. And yet you guys show up and you just have smiles on your faces and you're chill. Your girls are well put together, you know, well dressed. So like, how do you
and
do
handmade
it?
Dresses?
I mean, well, I'll answer first. I feel like I really enjoy those things. And I feel like Blake and I make a good team. I know a lot of couples probably say that, but I really do feel like we make a good team. And I don't know. I feel like we complement each other in a lot of ways. So it's like, if I commit to something, Blake is good about helping me, vice versa. And I think that we also enjoy a lot of the things we do. So hosting, I really enjoy hosting. And I feel like it's something the girls can easily come alongside me. They get excited. They're always, every night they're like, who's coming over tonight? They're always wanting to have people over tonight. And it's like, if someone's not coming over, they're kind of like disappointed. But they love, you know, setting the table, doing things like that. And yeah, like I said, they love sewing. So that project with the wedding invites, it was something they could do with me during nap time when the younger ones were napping. They got to help me. But yeah, I feel like usually if we've committed to something, it's something that we're both excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would say if it's something that you're bringing up that you want to do, generally something that is life-giving to you, like the invitations, or if it's like you know, making a meal for somebody. So while it might add to our plate, it's something that is actually pretty energizing to you. Mm-hmm. And so I think I would err on the side of saying yes to things like that. But I kind of feel like life is, it's like riding a bike. It's like balance. It's like putting weight on one side and then putting weight on the other. Like you're constantly just kind of shifting up what you're doing. And there's plenty of times that we've overloaded.
Yeah, we've definitely done that.
And then it's like June is always a crazy month for us, but July is so great. Like we just kind of have these kind of rhythms of just like busy and then not. So we're just, I don't know. We just kind of manage the pressure. Like
basically we just look forward to July every year. Yeah.
It's like you go through a season where you just like load up your plate so much and then you're like, okay, I'm not committing to anything for the next 6 weeks or whatever. And so we kind of just play by ear, I guess.
We need to learn from you guys. Cause I was like, cause July is like the worst, like the most overcommitted month on the calendar. So I'm like, I like that though. You like commit heavily and then you guys rest and, you know, take breaks.
Yeah. I feel like we go hard and then we'll rest hard. For
work hard, play hard.
Yeah.
Pray hard.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. Put that on a shirt.
Just made that up right there.
That's great. Well, you mentioned working well as a team, and it seems like that, right? It never seems like, okay, this is a big ask of Blake and Lilia gets to do this thing, and then this is a huge ask of Lilia and Blake gets to do this thing over here. Has it always been that way? Or have there been moments where it really was like somebody was committing to something and then there was potential for, you know, the other person to resent them for it and be like, you know, how do we get into this mess or why do we have to commit to this thing? Have you guys had to have conversations around situations like that?
I mean, I feel like something that brought us together before we were married is that we did projects together. Like we worked a lot together as a team with music stuff, or I'm trying to think some of the other projects we worked on, but I feel like that's something that drew us together. We did work together well. And then, I feel like we have a lot in common. So there's not like, Blake doesn't have any interests where I'm like, oh my word, that's so annoying. Like, I don't, you don't. And so.
You don't, not anymore.
Yeah. I got rid of those.
Took care of those. Yeah.
No, but genuinely, it's like all the things he likes, I like leisurely time. We like to go out bike riding or rollerblading. And so we're never like, you know, fighting for that, I guess.
Yeah. I do think it's just one thing. I don't know if it was ever a big issue, but it's like, basically we've just learned that you don't commit to anything without really running it by the other person. So I don't think there's a time really that, at least recently, we've committed ourselves to something without actually having talked about it. So
nice. Yeah. Got to consult before you commit. All right.
That's, yeah, we definitely do that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's important. So you guys work together and then work together in life. Okay. But then you also work together with us in Millbrook Music it's Academy. True. How is that for you
working
guys?
With you guys?
Yeah, no, we love it. We don't know. We are ready to hear that. We can do that off air.
No, but if you're willing to leave a Google review,
yeah, that
would be great. We love working with you guys, though. So how is that working together? Because like Blake, you film Lilia when she's doing tutorials.
Oh, actually,
like that.
That, now that we talk about that, that has been an area that we've worked through.
Oh,
filming each other.
Yes.
We can go back to the conflict.
Sure. This is thing. Kind of a fun thing to talk about.
Because when we first started filming, Blake's a bit of a perfectionist.
I'm a producer. You know, I was trying to like, I was giving her a lot of feedback on like everything. I was being a little critical, really. So that didn't really go over too well.
Yeah, he's gotten better about that. And I've gotten better at receiving some criticism.
Yeah, my intent was never to criticize, but more just to coach.
So, yeah, we've worked through that and that's gotten better.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was sitting on the other side of the camera teaching a guitar class, I felt pretty bad. I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I was so critical of her. This is tough.
I remember when you filmed your first video and you were like, I have so much grace for Lilia. Like, this is hard on this side of the camera. Yep,
it's true. Yeah.
I do feel like filming is a new level of working through stuff with your spouse. I don't know why. It's been that way for us.
Yeah. Like
still that way for us.
From the first like week of our marriage, we tried to do, cause we had done videos on our own separate from each other. And then we got, sat down side by side to record a video, and we got so mad at each other. We just, it's like, why'd you say that? We have to keep pausing it, and it took us a long time.
Yeah, there's been times where I'm like, do you want to teach this fiddle song?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, if you got all the right ideas, yeah.
But it's been a huge blessing.
No, it has.
Because when we first got married, Lily had 55 fiddle students, like in person. Mm-hmm. I think she was working longer days than I was. And so now that would not be very feasible with, you know, five kids at home. So,
no, it's been a great way for me to be able to teach without having, you know, to teach all day or be away from my girls. Mm-hmm. And also I still have energy to teach my girls. So that's, yeah, that is a huge blessing.
Yeah. So we kind of schedule our days so that we can both do that.
Yeah. So. That's great. I've got another question, because you've got like VMA is essentially your side hustle. You've got like a full career job that you oftentimes work from home as well. How have you guys found this? Because we've experienced this, and I think a lot of our listeners have experienced the like dilemma of the ability to work from home, where there's a huge blessing in it and like being able to be with your children, you know, be more part of the family flow. But there's its double-edged sword, right? Where sometimes you feel too convoluted into the home flow, mm-hmm. and you're in each other's business. Have you guys found any systems that work for you when it comes to working from home? You know, keeping the home a place where you can unplug from work, right? And just do mm-hmm. family things. Blake, you feeling like you can actually pull away and get work done? And then Lily, you feel like you actually have your domain, you know, where you can really just kind of own the home, you know, during the day. How's that been?
I think it's been going good. I'm just kind of learning how to do that. I haven't always worked remote. The thing about my day job, I guess I'll say, is that it does require me to be very present and available for my job. So we basically just told the girls to not bug me while I'm working, and I have an office and they're supposed to knock before they come in, and you know, they'll see me come down, you know, grab a cup of coffee, and then I just kind of scurry back up to work. So
I feel like he's intentional about starting his work day. It'll be like, you know, we'll eat breakfast and he'll be like, all right, I'm headed to work. And he just walks upstairs.
I've joked even about, you know, driving around the block and then like driving home and then walking upstairs. So,
but yeah, I feel like, I mean, Blake's very productive at home. So for him, he gets a lot of work done. And then it's just maybe for the girls been a transition of like, Kate, don't bug daddy. And, but I feel like it's been going pretty well.
And I feel like you're actually more productive at home when I am not, and I'm not bugging.
Oh yeah. I feel like when, like we love Blake being home.
There used to be times that I would come home for lunch, like maybe a long lunch from work.
Yeah.
And she was kind of just waiting for me to go back to work because I was kind of disrupting the whole flow. You know, she had a plan of what she was going to do with the kids.
And well, it's like then the girls are excited to see him. They just want to hang out. Yeah. And it's like, you know, we got nap time or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I feel like we have kind of the designated daddy's working and we're doing our thing.
Mm-hmm. It kind of goes back to the work hard, play hard thing.
Yeah.
Just like when you're working, work. And then when you're not working, stop working.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, we certainly relate to not getting anything done when we're both at home. Like it's, you just get caught up in a conversation and next thing you know, you're like, okay, this is.
Yeah. If you don't have clear boundaries.
Yeah.
Which after every baby, I feel like we've gotten clear boundaries.
Yes, we've had to.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're like, okay, if this is going to work.
Yeah. What's something that you would like a piece of encouragement or advice that you would give to a girl family, right? You guys have, you're going five strong now with the girls. What are some things you've learned?
What would you say, Mike?
I don't know. Think about that one.
I mean, we're still obviously, there's still so little, but I think it's just fun having a bunch of the same gender to just embrace it and be like, we're just the girl family. And there's like all the stereotypes, you know, when I go into the grocery store, people will be like, oh, just wait till they're teenagers. And I'm always like, yeah, I can't wait. Like, I'm so excited to have a bunch of teenagers. And I feel like that's just going to be really fun and just embracing it. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. I don't know if this really is an answer to that same question, but we have talked a little bit about the stereotypes of like boys and girls mm-hmm. and how people will comment on our girls and be like, oh, like, just wait till you guys have a boy. You know, it's going to be chaos in your house. And we kind of...
And now being here with you guys. Okay. No, I'm kidding. Okay. I'm kidding.
I think it's chaos because there's 11 kids. Know, yeah. It's not usually this chaotic.
I'm joking.
I guess what I was going to say is we kind of push back against that a little bit because, like, we've seen plenty of girls that are chaotic or whatever.
Or boys that are really calm. I mean, you meet the families where it's like the boys are the easiest. So it's... Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it is just what you make it.
Yeah, I think just... I guess I can't really give a piece of advice for a girl specific family, but just for parenting in general, it's just don't be discouraged and just be diligent with your training, and do it with love. You know,
don't screw up.
Yeah.
Don't screw up.
You guys are wonderful parents.
You are.
Yeah. And you notice with your girls, they're just so sweet. They're so fun, loving, fun to be around, but they're also so obedient and helpful. And I'm curious, what's something that you guys appreciate about each other?
You want me one to go first, thing.
Yeah, I do.
All right. Lilia.
You can say more than one if
why,
you want.
Why I decided to marry Lilia. Well, I knew she was going to be a great mom. And also, I just really enjoyed spending time with her and think she's really fun and funny. But one of the things that she's proven to be a great mom in is that she has a very high capacity for chaos and messes, and she's not afraid to get her hands dirty, you know, changing a dirty diaper on her lap.
That stresses Blake out.
It's like, well, the first time I saw her do that, I was like, are you going to just change that diaper on your lap? You know?
And you just fell in love with me, right?
That's a small example. It's just like, I feel like if you're going to be a mom, you got to have some grit. And she's got a lot of grit, you know, ready to just like tackle the messes. And then my role is then come in and think, how can we avoid, what kind of systems can we put in place to never have to change a dirty diaper on your lap ever again?
Yeah.
It's kind of like how our marriage
works.
He's
a systems guy.
So,
yeah, I feel like for me, I just really appreciate Blake is like the most steady person in the whole world. I feel like I'm serious. He's just like no highs and lows. It's all just like, hi, actually. No, it's true. He's very grounding and stable. Yeah, it's good.
That's great. You know, you said something. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. This gets thrown around a lot, I think, with parenting, but you said you've embraced, you know, the girl family, or you've just embraced parenting. And I think you guys have completely done that from the beginning. Even when it comes to your guys' hobbies, you mentioned, Lilia, you guys share a lot of hobbies. You have similar interests, but I think you've morphed your interests too as you've had children. And, you know, I even think of the fact that you guys like all have your bikes, you all have your rollerblades that you take out. These are hobbies that like you are developing with music, you know, even though you're musicians already, you've really thought through like, okay, what can we do with our daughters? What can we all do together? Mm-hmm. And you've like embraced those things and you've decided to have a blast with them. And that's really inspiring. Cause I know that like, for me, I've really tried to hang on to some things that maybe weren't that conducive to a family life. And then once I let go of them and embrace the things that were good for the family life, I fell in love with those things, whether it's a hobby or, you know, a discipline, books that you read. And so as just as humans, we're so adaptable, like we can learn to love anything. And so when you think through the lens of like, would this be helpful to all the kids or could we do it all together and then choose to love that thing? I think you guys really exemplified that, which is cool to see.
Thanks. Yeah, it is fun.
we should wrap this up for those of you that are listening or watching. You might be able to hear some sounds in the background. The natives are getting restless out there.
I don't think everyone's sleeping.
Yes. Lilia, Blake, thank you so much
thank
for doing
you.
This. Yes, thank you for being awesome. Yes, siblings, in-laws, I mean the whole thing. So thank you. Love you guys.
We're huge fans. And also, I just want to say it's been my dream to be on a podcast, any podcast. So, but yours especially.
Wow, is this your first podcast?
It's my first podcast.
You guys,
I've been in a lot in my dreams.
She's been in a lot in her dreams. Because she'll listen to podcasts. Well, when Trudy was
like
born,
postpartum,
while she was,
yeah,
you know, trying to stay awake nursing in the middle of the night, she listened to a podcast, but then she falls asleep and she's a host on the podcast in her dream.
Yeah, so. This is kind of a dream come true of mine.
Wow. I didn't know that. We should have led with that.
I mean, yeah. If you ever need a co-host,
That's great.
You we are moving to the area.
You practiced a lot in your dreams.
Well, maybe you can sub for me because I went to church 2 weeks ago at William Blake's church, and this older woman came up to me and started talking to me like she just knew me so well. And I'm just like trying to place her. And then she could tell I was like a little confused, and she goes, "Oh, you aren't Lilia, are you?" No, I'm not.
It's true. It's funny because Katie's the only brunette in her family. So when we'd hang out, people always thought we were sisters.
Mm. Yeah. That is fun. We didn't mention this either. Yeah, I know we got to wrap this up. But Lilia and Blake are moving to the town that we live in.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really fun. We're going to be able to do a lot more things in person with Voberg Music Academy. Yeah. Who knows what else?
They're going to take over the podcast. Apparently.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
You guys are out of town. We'll come over here.
Awesome. Cool. Folks, thank you all so much for listening. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.